Morning, Homefront. Welcome to our third part in our series, Survivor. When we started off, we said that Jesus promises us many, many good things, many benefits of our faith in Christ. But he also promises us tribulation and trials, and so that we shouldn't be surprised when they come upon us. And the question becomes, so in marriage, how do we thrive? How do we survive in the midst of upheaval, in the midst of trial, which of course we find ourselves in all the time, but even maybe more particularly, more acutely now that we're all aware of it together as a group. And in our introduction to the series, we talked about not letting a good crisis go to waste, right? Not having all of the pain without the gain. And so how do we do this? How do we survive and thrive through tribulation? We said that we don't want to vote our spouse off the island, so to speak, but we want to, reestablish, reaffirm our alliance with Christ in the Spirit with our spouse. That's our goal. So we started off talking about how and why we should fight for peace first, as the first step in our survival and thriving. It's because the first thing to occur, right, in any upheaval is anxiety or panic, right, which we said leads to irrational thinking, short tempers, weariness, confusion, open conflict, right? So peace, we said peace in this sense is not the absence of turmoil or trial, but rather the Spirit-given calm, that peace that transcends all understanding, the Spirit-given calm in the midst of the storm, despite the storm. And then we said that once we'd weathered that initial onslaught, and we've been able to maintain the peace that Christ has given us without slipping into panic, that then we need to rally sort of the troops as one unit. And so we explored why we need to fight for unity as our second part, not uniformity, but unity in marriage. So we said that rather than disappearing into our marriage, God wants to combine our strength and backstop our weaknesses so that united with Christ, we're stronger than we could be individually. And that begins in the marriage relationship, but then it also extends out to our children as well. We read from Matthew 12:25, said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So once we are at peace, meaning that we're rightly aligned with God and our spouse, and we are united not only as husband and wife, but brother and sister in Christ, that we need to gain a biblical perspective on God's purpose and plan in tribulation and trial. So that's where we're going today. We're going to be fighting for perspective. What is God's purpose in tribulation? The Greek word for tribulation is thlipsis, thlipsis. And what it means is to press together, or to apply pressure. To press together, or to apply pressure. God's word is clear that his purpose in applying pressure to his people, and even to whole cultures, can be known. It is clear what God's purpose is in that. So his perspective is the perspective that we need if we're not going to only survive through tribulation, but again, to be able to enjoy the gain from the pain, so to speak. So what I want to focus on today is gaining biblical perspective on tribulation in the life of a couple, of a family. But there are many, many ways that God uses upheaval to disrupt whole cultures, as we're seeing right now, and he does so as a means of glorifying himself and advancing his kingdom agenda. What is his kingdom agenda? Pastor Tony Evans describes the kingdom agenda like this, and I love this definition. He says, the kingdom agenda is the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life, individual life, family life, church life, and civic life. And we have examples of this, God using upheaval throughout biblical history, and even in the 2,000 years since the incarnation of Christ and the closing of the canon, we've seen how God uses paradoxical means, right, meaning tribulation, to bring about his kingdom purposes in the world. And I'll give you just one example, right? In the Chinese Cultural Revolution, the Communist Cultural Revolution, Western missionaries were expelled from China. That's bad. We would think of that as a bad thing. Major tribulation, major upheaval and disruption. And yet, once China reopened some 50 years later, the number of believers in China during that time had exploded. And today, they say, the number of true believers in Jesus Christ actually outnumber the number of people in the Communist Party itself in China. So on a global scale, we can be confident in the midst of tribulation that God is at work and that no one will thwart his kingdom agenda. But how does this play out in our marriage and in our family, sort of on the micro scale? What is the perspective that God's giving us in his word? So we're going to look at several truths here, and I'll give examples and scripture for each one of those. And then at the end, if you are joining us for our discussion, virtual table discussion, that's going to be at 9 o'clock on Sundays from now on, to take into account the fact that we're going to be meeting live for our main worship service. We want to give people time enough to attend the 10:45 service if they choose to do that. So we'll be beginning that Zoom call at 9, and if you look in the email, the Homefront email, you can get that. So let's look at what are these truths. The first one I want to talk about is this, that first of all, tribulation cannot separate us from the love of God in Jesus. Right? Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Of course, the emphatic answer to that is none of these will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 14:8 says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So the first thing we need to do in our marriage together is we have to first rest in the knowledge that we as a couple, as individuals and as a couple, as a family, we are secure in God's love. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Despite our trials and despite even our own failures, that is a rock foundational truth that we need to hang on to in the midst of tribulation. That is a key perspective that we need to have. Second one is this: tribulation is experienced or should be experienced and worked out in community with Christ and with others. Tribulation is experienced or worked out in community with Christ and others. Revelation 1:9. So John says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus. So what does that perspective give us? As a couple, we have to resist with everything in our being the temptation to isolate ourselves in the midst of trials, because that's our tendency. But God's design is that we would lean on one another, that we would lean on his grace as expressed through his body, the church. So we can't isolate ourselves, because tribulation is to be experienced and worked out in community with Christ and with others. The third one is this: tribulation is not something we need to fear. This goes along a little bit with that first one about our security in Christ. Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear what you were about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. It's very specific, 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's Jesus speaking to the church. Be faithful until death. Do not fear. Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So we have to constantly remind ourselves in the word and in prayer of God's character. If we're not to fear tribulation, if we're not to fear bad news, as scripture says, we have to remind ourselves in word and in prayer of who God is. What is his character? He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, right? He is perfectly loving towards his people in Christ. Key thing to keep in mind. We cannot fear in the midst of tribulation. It's a godly perspective. Tribulation is the next one. Tribulation is worth rejoicing over, actually. Rather than fear it, it's worth rejoicing over, because it brings about perseverance. It brings about spiritual maturity, Christ-likeness, greater faith, and because it's accompanied by the proclamation of the gospel, right? James 1:2 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you suffer many trials. 1 Peter 1:6 says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you also became imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Right? So tribulation, the perspective we need to have on tribulation here is that tribulations are God's way of reshaping us into the image of his Son for his glory. and the advancement of his kingdom. So if, even if you look at the early church in the book of Acts, the preaching of the word led to tribulation, right? They preached the word and they were persecuted. Persecution broke out against the church, which did what? It scattered the church in order that the gospel could be proclaimed in the whole known world, right? So this is just the truth about tribulation. You know, Paul suffered, Peter was sifted, and on it goes. And that happened, and that God used that tool in order to sanctify them and in order to advance his kingdom. So that's the second one, or the not second one, that's the next one in our list, is that tribulation is worth rejoicing over because it does lead to perseverance, spiritual maturity. It leads to greater faith. It leads to the advancement of the gospel in the world. The next one is that tribulation prepares us for service in the kingdom. Tribulation prepares us for service in the kingdom, right? Moses was driven into the desert. He ran away into the desert where he became a shepherd, wandering in the desert, living in the desert, learning how to guide sheep, learning how to live in that environment. Why was that important? Well, if you read the rest of the story, you understand what God was preparing him to do. He was preparing him to lead God's flock, the people, Israel, out of Egypt and into a desert where they were going to have to wander for 40 years. And so Moses was being prepared through tribulation, was being prepared for future ministry, for service in the kingdom. David's work as a shepherd. You know, David, when he's explaining to King Saul why it is that he is the one that God could use to defeat Goliath, he says, my experience tells me that God delivered the bear and God delivered the lion into my hand. And so I know that he's going to deliver this pagan, you know, heathen giant into my hand as well. So God was preparing him through just the normal, and having a job sometimes can feel like a tribulation, can feel like a trial. So, you know, David was, he was the youngest. He was the one that was sort of left out of everything. He was, right? He was suffering, and he was left out, you know, out in the field to care for the sheep, sort of an afterthought. And yet, even in the caring of the sheep and in that being an afterthought, he was being prepared. We can go on down the line. We can look at the life of Joseph and so on. In my own life and in our life as a couple, Patricia and I, I lost my job in 2002. We were unemployed for a time. I took a commission-only sales job for a time. Right. And there was many, many months, actually more like a year, just of intense financial tribulation in our family. And what did we learn from that? What was God doing? He was preparing us to live by faith. He was showing us how he provided for us over and over and over again. He was helping us to learn to trust him more for what was coming next, which was a move into ministry first here in Northern Virginia and then to the mission field in Brazil, right? So God was preparing us through tribulation for what we would face down the road. So tribulations prepare us for service in the kingdom. It's an important perspective to have as we consider the situations that we find ourselves in, the upheaval that we find ourselves in. Next is that tribulation can be a sign that we are hitting the enemy where it hurts. And so he's hitting back. Now, I am not the kind of person that sees, you know, the Satan behind every trial or every inconvenience. But when your marriage is being used to glorify God and to love and to serve others, particularly the lost, you need to recognize that when that's going on, when that's happening, you're moving into enemy territory and threatening the kingdom of darkness. And as such, you should expect some pushback. Again, it's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to fear, but it's something to be recognized, right? 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we don't have any reason to fear that, but it is a perspective that we have to consider when we're suffering tribulation. Is this particular trial, this tribulation, is this spiritual warfare? It could be one of the reasons for our tribulation. Or tribulation could be God correcting some area of sin in our lives. Right? Not all tribulation is correction. It's important to recognize that. But it is one of the tools in God's toolbox. You know, I think about our marriage. Early in our marriage, we very foolishly got ourselves into a pile of debt. We were actively ignoring volumes of instruction and wisdom concerning our finances that God provided, right? And the consequences of our foolishness, which God allowed to play out in our life, were tribulations of many kinds, right? Until the rod of his discipline, I'll call it, the rod of his discipline drove us back to him, drove us back to seek his wisdom, to in obedience, to seek the path, right? The path that leads to life. It is a perspective to consider when tribulation comes. Again, not all tribulation is correction, but we do need to ask ourselves, is there some area in our marriage or our individual lives where we are consciously or maybe unconsciously transgressing God's design for our marriage? Finally, and this is the last one here, tribulation, and specifically our response to it and God's faithfulness through it, are a powerful testimony to the world around us and to the infinite value of God. Psalm 73:25. I'm going to read a couple verses for you. Psalm 73:25-26 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Habakkuk 3:17-19, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength." Trial, tribulation. Daniel 3:16-18, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." These are examples out of scripture of people that despite or maybe even in rather better, not despite of, but in response to tribulation, are demonstrating to the world around them the infinite value of God in the midst of tribulation. This is a key perspective. Now, when we lived in Brazil, you know, we worked with children and families who lived in seriously difficult situations, serious tribulation on a daily basis. And what God called us to do there was to preach the gospel as the only source of hope in this world. But we would make sure that we told them that it wasn't that faith in Christ would allow them to escape from tribulation, because in fact it could intensify tribulation. But we would remind them that God was much more interested in their character than in their comfort, right? Because he's fitting us for life in his kingdom. Right? What does God desire? He desires Christ-likeness. He desires our character to be one of love, of resilient joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? For our good and for his glory. Right? These are the fruit of the Spirit of God working in the life of the redeemed child of God through, among other things, tribulation. So, kind of to wrap up this part of our series, right? Knowing that God has a purpose and he has a plan for tribulation is key, right? Not only for our ability to stand up under it, but also being transformed by it. So as a family, as a couple, we have to fight in the power of the Spirit. We fight for peace, right? We fight for unity, unit cohesion, and a biblical perspective on the upheaval that we're encountering. So let me close. I just want to close our time by reading from Hebrews chapter 12. This is verses 1 through 3 and then verse 28 and 29. I hope this is a blessing for you all. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Guys, I pray that you all have a good week. This week, I pray that the things that we talked about today, that you'd be able to think on them, meditate on them, that they would lead to good conversations between the two of you, and maybe with other couples that you know. We have our discussion questions, and I encourage you to take a look at those. They're either, depending on how you're accessing this, you either got the email, in which case they're in the email, but they're also on the website right below the video of this message. So take some time, look through those discussion questions individually as a couple, and then really, again, I encourage you, reach out to some other couples, reach out to your home front crew, reconnect, find some time to get together and discuss this. You're welcome and encouraged to join us at our 9 o'clock Zoom virtual table talk. We would love to see you there. And the link for that is also in the email. Or if you didn't get the email and you want to just email me, it's mikemyers@restandbible.org, and I can make sure that you get that link. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.